Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again, broadcasting live from Auroville Radio. And I'm back with my series on exploring education in arts, animation, and filmmaking. Today, I cover another topic in filmmaking. And as we reach the end of the first era, today I'm going to talk about the early growth of the film industry. Méliès' decline was assisted by the industrialization of the French and, for a time, the entire European cinema by Pathé Frères' company, founded in 1896 by the former phonograph importer Charles Pathé. Financed by some of France's largest corporations, Pathé acquired the Lumière's patents in 1902 and commissioned the design of an improved studio camera that soon dominated the market on both sides of the Atlantic. It has been estimated that before 1918, 60% of all films were shot with a Pathé camera. Pathé also manufactured his own film stock and in 1902 established a vast production company that at Vincennes, where films were turned out on an assembly line basis under the managing direction of Ferdinand Zecca. The following year, Pathé began to open foreign sales agencies, which would soon become full-blown production companies, namely Hispro Film in 1906, Pathé Rouse Moscow in 1907, Film di Art Italiano and Pathé Britannia London, both in 1909, and Pathé America in 1910. He acquired permanent exhibition sites, building the world's first luxury cinema, the Omnia Pathé, in Paris in 1906. In 1911, Pathé became Méliès' distributor and helped to drive Star Film out of business. Pathé's only serious rival on the continent at that time was Gaumont Pictures, founded by the engineer-inventor Léon Gaumont in 1895. Though never more than one-fourth the size of Pathé, Gaumont followed the same pattern of expansion, manufacturing its own equipment and mass-producing films under a supervising director. Through 1906, Alice Guy, the cinema's first female director, afterwards Louise Foulard. Like Pathé, Gaumont opened foreign offices and acquired theatre chains. From 1905 to 1914, its studio at La Villette, France, were the largest in the world. Pathé and Gaumont dominated pre-World War I motion picture production, exhibition and sales in Europe, and they effectively brought to an end the artisanal mode of filmmaking practiced by Méliès and his British contemporaries. In the United States, a similar pattern was emerging through the formation of film exchanges and the consolidation of an industry-wide monopoly based on the pooling of patent rights. About 1897, producers had adopted the practice of selling prints outright, which had the effect of promoting itinerant exhibition and discriminating against the owners of permanent sites. In 1903, in response to the needs of theatre owners, Harry J. Miles and Herbert Miles opened a film exchange in San Francisco. The exchange functioned as a broker between producers and exhibitors, buying prints from the former and leasing them to the latter for 25% of the purchase price. In subsequent practice, rental fees were calculated on individual production costs and box office receipts. The exchange system of distribution quickly caught on because it profited nearly everyone. The new middlemen made fortunes by collecting multiple revenues on the same print. Exhibitors were able to reduce their overheads and vary their programs without financial risk. And ultimately, the producers experienced a tremendous surge in demand for their product as exhibition and distribution boomed nationwide. Between November 1906 and March 1907, for example, producers increased their weekly output from 10,000 to 28,000 feet, that is 3,000 to 8,500 meters and still could not meet demand. The most immediate effect of the rapid rise of the distribution sector was the Nickelodeon boom. The exponential growth of the permanent film theaters in the United States for a mere handful in 1904 to about 8,000 to 10,000 by 1908. Named for the Nickelodeon, in Greek for Nickel Theater, which opened in Pittsburgh in 1905, these theaters were makeshift facilities lodged in converted storefronts. They showed approximately an hour's worth of film for an admission price of 5 to 10 cents. Originally identified with working class audiences, Nickelodeons appealed increasingly to the middle class as the decade wore on. As they became associated with the rising popularity of the story film, their spread also forced the standardization of film length at one reel or 1,000 feet, that is 305 meters, to facilitate high efficiency production and the trading of products within the industry. By 1908, there were about 20 motion picture production companies operating in the United States. They were constantly at war with one another over business practices and patent rights, and they had begun to fear that their fragmentation would cause them to lose control of the industry to the two new sectors of distribution and exhibition. The most powerful among them, Edison, Biograph, Vitagraph, SNA, Kalem, Selig Polyscope, Lubin, the American branches of the French Star Film, and Pathé Frères, and Klein Optical, the largest domestic distribution of foreign films, therefore entered into a conclusive trade agreement to ensure their continued dominance. On September 9, 1908, these companies formed the Motion Picture Patents Company, also known as MPPC, pooling the 16 most significant U.S. patents of motion picture technology and entered into an exclusive contract with the Eastman Kodak Company for the supply of raw film stock. The MPPC, also known as the Trust, sought to control every segment of the industry and therefore set up a licensing system for assessing royalties. The use of its patents was granted only to licensed equipment manufacturers. Film stock could be sold only to licensed producers. Licensed producers and importers were required to fix rental prices at a minimum level and to set quotas for foreign footage to reduce competition. The MPPC films could be sold only to licensed distributors, who could lease them only to licensed exhibitors, and only licensed exhibitors had the right to use MPPC projectors and rent company films. To solidify its control in 1910, the same year in which motion picture attendance in the United States rose to 26 million persons a week, the MPPC formed the General Film Company, which integrated the licensed distributors into a single corporate entity. Although it was clearly monopolistic in practice and intent, the MPPC helped to stabilize the American film industry during a period of unprecedented growth and change by standardizing exhibition practice, increasing the efficiency of distribution, and regularizing prices in all three sectors. Its collusive nature, however, provoked a reaction that ultimately destroyed it. In a sense, the MPPC's ironclad efforts to eliminate competition merely fostered it. Almost from the outset, there was widespread resistance to the MPPC on the part of the independent distributors, numbering 10 or more in early 1909, and exhibitors estimated at 2,000 to 2,500. And in January of 1909, they formed their own trade association, the Independent Film Protective Association, reorganized that fall as the National Independent Moving Picture Alliance to provide financial and legal support against the trust. A more effective and powerful antitrust organization was the Motion Picture Distributing and Sales Company, which began operation in May of 1910. 3 weeks after the inception of General Film, and which eventually came to serve 47 exchanges in 27 cities. For nearly 2 years, independents were able to present a united front through the company, which finally split into two rival camps in the spring of 1912, the Mutual Film Corporation and the Universal Film Manufacturing Company. By imitating MPPC practices of joining forces and licensing, the early independents were able to compete effectively against the trust in its first 3 years of operation, netting about 40% of all American film business. In fact, their product, the One Reel Shot, and their mode of operation were initially fundamentally the same as the MPPC's. The independents later revolutionized the industry, however, by adopting the multi-reel film as their basic product, a move that caused the MPPC to embrace the one-reeler with a vengeance, hastening its own demise. And that brings us to the conclusion of the first era of filmmaking, ranging from 1830 to 1910. And in this era, I covered the origins of filmmaking, the contributions of Edison and the Lumiere brothers, contributions of Méliès and Porter, and finally today, the early growth of the film industry. Thank you for listening.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.